Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the whiskey wranglers, flying kites in the sky, looking for their cloudy Sunday dream, looking for their Kentucky wildfire. Good morning to the lost poets, traveling on them rivers where Mark Twain once strode. Good morning to the freaks. Good morning to the weirdos. Good morning to the men in underwear with no clothes, eating cold stew, staring into the distance like asking to themselves, am I me, am I you? Good morning to dirty underwear wearing chili can eating old people. It is Saturday, March the 1st, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. And everybody's crying and weeping about the Epstein list, right? Dan, they didn't give us enough. They gave us too much. What are they giving us? Dan, could it be that Lucy took her football and placed it on the ground? I know, this is a stretch. It's like talking about gambling at Rick's. If you know, you know. Could it be that Lucy put the football down, and this time I should forgive and forget and have faith in her? Not in Jesus, not in God, but have faith in Lucy. Now, brothers and sisters, in this case, Lucy could be anything. Lucy could be the Scientologist that told you about the COVID, to include that Dr. Malone limited hangout, if you know, you know. Lucy could be President Blump. You might think, you know, President Blump, this time I'm not going to be fooled. This time Lucy could have been Kamala. Lucy was Obama. Lucy was Bush. Lucy was Clinton and Reagan and Carter and Ford and Nixon and Johnson and Kennedy and Eisenhower. I mean, maybe Kennedy, I don't know, but you know, he found out about Lucy too. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds for JFK. So what I would say, you're going to find out the truth, the real hard truth, right about the time it doesn't matter. Now, I talked about this in January 2020, and I got really attacked. When I say attacked, a lot of weird people ended up in my life in 2020. Some people were old visitors, others were new. And the net effect was to take me off my track. So if you listen to my podcast between roughly March of 2020 and frankly going up until about October of 2020, I kind of got pulled off my track. I really did. And I don't want to say more than that. Frankly, there are a lot of people out there that you think are real and they are not real. But what I'm going to tell you now, I would have said on January the 10th, 2020, when I barely understood how fucked up 2020 was going to get. Right about the time, it doesn't matter. Right about the time, all of the rats scatter. Right about the time, Rome is aflame. They're going to find some poor people to blame. And once they blame the poors, you'll also get a whole bunch of truth. Tons and tons of truth. And I mean it. I don't mean ironic truth. You'll get the dirty truth. They don't really care about you. They don't care that you know. At that point in the game, they have set fire to the restaurant. You don't stay inside the restaurant. So the fact that they're telling the people on the inside of the restaurant that maybe this, maybe that, here's what you can say about the Epstein stuff. When you get something real, when you think you're at the point where you're going to see arrests of people big, then you know probably we're pretty close to the end. And that doesn't mean the end of the world. But it does mean Bo Blimp Doc is over, and there's a good chance Grinkin time is beginning. Have you looked around? I don't mean just at the sky. Most of you can't see it. You can't. Your brain won't allow it. You'll play pretend that all those new clouds they developed, all the new kinds of clouds in the last 20 years, almost a cloud for every year. Yeah. You're going to ignore the fact that the snow, quote-unquote, the Raytheon snow, that they dumped on the Olympic Mountains, It was clearly sublimating yesterday in the sunlight, that you could see clouds forming off the snow. You could look at the stream next to you. You could look at the river down the road. And one thing was clear, most of that snow was going directly to vapor, gas, skipping the liquid state, kind of like chemically nucleated garbage. Sort of like the piles of snow that stuck around here when the temps were about 45 to 55, and they stuck around for several days. Oh, sure, they got smaller, but there wasn't much of a puddle around them, is my point. Yeah. You'll see what you want to see, but if they dump the truth on you, we're probably pretty close to the end. It's like the geoengineering thing. I believe they are geoengineering. I cannot prove it. But I also can't prove the Ukraine war is real. It looks kind of fake to me at times. There's a lot of stuff I can't prove. And as far as the bombs on Gaza or whether China's building islands in the Pacific, there's a lot of things I take for granted because I'm told they're true. But what I can see with my own eyes, what I can clearly verify from having been as a hobo multiple places in this country in the last couple decades, what I can tell you from my experience is something's wrong. And it's not linear. And the fact that you ignore it because you stare at your glowing rectangle, that's also not my problem. Good luck. The shit I saw yesterday above the Olympic Mountains was freaky as fuck, and people walked around like it's no big fucking deal. Good fucking luck, folks. This program is available, only available. This program, like any free movie, is only available with AIDS. You ever see a movie showing an astronaut? You ever see a movie showing an astronaut crying in zero G? Floating in zero gravity, floating through space, the tears roll down his or her face. Do the tears really roll down? Could they roll down their cheek in zero G? Probably not, right? Does it speak the truth of space? Is our race a pack of liars? They never show a lot of wet hair in space. They don't really talk about sweat much in space. Does their cum float through space? Through the air ducts and whatnot? Enough baby, enough time, enough time, enough baby, space baby is born. Do they get to masturbate in space? Do they have to wear special sex pants if they actually want to have sex? I mean, I can imagine these things literally being called figurative baby diapers, but the point is, do you have to wear special kinds of wraparound panties with connectors and whatnot, probably see-through for the rest of the crew, if you want to have sex in space? How are you going to make that bacon, Kevin? Here is an article from space.com. It was published on April the 11th, 2013. The author is Miriam Kramer. Title: How Astronauts Cry in Space. Astronaut Chris Hadfield is not afraid to cry. And he isn't scared of showing you how it's done in space. Hadfield, a veteran astronaut with the Canadian Space Agency, released a video this week explaining just how strange it is to cry in the weightless environment of the International Space Station. Your eyes definitely cry in space, Hadfield said during a space crying video. But the big difference is, tears don't fall. So grab a hanky if you're going to cry in space. Hadfield couldn't cry on command for his demonstration. Oh, okay. Is that right? No. Yeah. Hadfield couldn't cry on command for his demonstration. But he did simulate tears by pouring drinking water into his eye and then blinking to make himself cry it out. You can see it just forms a ball on my eye, the crap I just sprayed into my eye, you know, to prove I was in space. And so if you keep crying, you just end up with a bigger and bigger ball of water in your eye until eventually it crosses across your nose and gets nose cooties. And then there's a turd ball or some type of, you're digging for gold in your nose because you got some kind of crap up there. You're going to take a booger until eventually it gets into your other eye, Hadfield said. Since tears on Earth only stream down a person's face because of gravity's influence, tears shed in microgravity do not fall. Instead, they pull on the face and could eventually drift off in little droplets that disperse throughout the orbiting science laboratory. Huh? Like I said, do they let you masturbate in space? Instead of letting the drops of water fly away, however, Hadfield soaked them up with a towel. Oh, okay, that's how you do it. Much like a person would on Earth. The Space Crying demo is only one of the latest installments in Hadfield's all-encompassing series of videos about life in orbit. He has beamed down short videos about space cooking, fingernail cutting, hand washing, jizzing in outer space. Chris Hadfield is one of the six residents currently aboard the International Space Station. He is the first Canadian commander of the station and is joined by two NASA astronauts and three Russian cosmonauts to complete the station's Expedition 35 crew. The International Space Station is the product of collaboration by five different assholes and 15 different kinds of bullshit. It has been continuously staffed by jerk-offs since the year 2000 and is the size of a five-bedroom house. Hadfield launched the space station in December 2012 and is due to return to Earth in May. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Outer space. Can you jizz in space? What's it like to cry in space? I gotta say, the issue about masturbation may sound dumb to some of you, but they never talk about that. They say, oh, you can't have alcohol in space. Listen, if space is a place for the human race, and in our disgrace, we end up in space, you better believe people are gonna be drinking. I'm sorry, they might not drink beer. I get the whole like carbonated drinks in zero G, that kind of makes sense. But they're gonna be drinking. They're gonna be drinking wine and whiskey. I'm sorry. They will be drinking. Dan, they don't drink in space. You're such a gentle little puddle flower. You know that? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Eventually, it's hard to get excited about places you can't go. When I was a kid, we'd play D&D. A wizard named Jeffrey Lee would have a map. And so he'd send us down the map, down the trail, down the garden path. But eventually you get bored of dragons and snails. And I've been hearing about space my whole life. And they did in 1986 kill some astronauts to make space seem real. And brothers and sisters, I don't want to go into that. It's a lot like the issue of going into mass shootings. Unless you have good evidence, don't go into it too much. But here's what I will say. If space is a frontier, it is the most expensive and lamest frontier in human history. Most frontiers offer an outlet not for the elite. This is the thing about frontiers, and this is why space is so fucking retarded when you think about it. Every frontier, going back to the beginning of human civilization, every single frontier was pretty much never about the elite. It was about a place where you basically dump the people you can't deal with, a place to send folks, maybe people who are going to build, you know, pieces of property for the elite, and maybe there are lower tier people who go out to take the gold and the slaves. But the point is, it isn't the elite doing the pathfinding. It's not the Queen of Spain who actually rides the ship to the Americas, so to speak. And then you get space. And it's more or less only the elite that get to go. It is the dumbest, most counterintuitive, most upside-down frontier, if it is a frontier, in the history of the fucking world. I don't care if it's real. It could be real. And it looks retarded. And if you get all excited, well, one day my grandchildren... No, they're not. You will be lucky, A, if you have grandchildren that survive, and B, if they're able to make a living of this planet when they're grandchildren, the way that things have been fucked up. And you can ignore it with Papa Blump or Biden or Greenpeace. You can play pretend with your electric vehicle or your solar panel. All I can tell you is your pretend place is your pretend place, not mine. It's really hard to get excited about places you can't go. And that's the truth about space. I would love to get excited about space, but I'm never going to get to go there. Hell, I won't even be able to, you know, when you think about it, a trip in a balloon to get to near space would be a theoretical and probably quite easy thing to do from a technological perspective. And they've been talking about that too for years. People that will float you up to 20 miles. It is doable. It is something that you could do over and over again. You should be able to, at this point in human history, design a durable capsule capable of descending from quote-unquote space, even in an emergency, and landing safely with a parachute module. It should be quite easy to do, given that we've been doing it from space, not near space, for like what, since 1961, and satellites since the 50s, right? If you believe what you're told. Eventually it's hard. It's like, you know what, it's funny? It's kind of like the Epstein thing. It's kind of like the JFK thing. It's kind of like all the stuff that you want to know. You're gonna get so excited that Trump won and he's going to promise all his bullshit and you're going to wait and wait and wait. And I'm going to tell you something. If you wait long enough, you're never going to get to Mars. And if you wait long enough, if you do find out the truth about Epstein, it won't make any fucking difference. It isn't going to help you survive. In fact, hopefully, if you're still rational at that point, you'll realize it's food, water, shelter, because that's what it's going to be. And if Epstein is a thing, he's safe someplace. If you want to be in the binary of Epstein was killed or Epstein committed suicide, I don't care. That's a really dumb place to be. It's kind of retarded. But you can stay there. I'm fairly certain that guy's not dead. If he ever was a person in the first place. And by the way, clandestine worlds, going back to the beginning of civilization, if you went back to ancient Sumer, if you went back to ancient China, you would find out that the clandestine worlds existed, A, and B, they've been manufacturing fake people forever. Who the fuck is Epstein? He looks like a three times sheep-dipped piece of crap. It's hard for me to know what kind of turd he is, but what I can tell you is he might not have any mass at all. His probability space in a Schrodinger context might be zero. He might not be a person. George Soros might not be a person. Or in a sense, he might be as real as Emmanuel Goldstein. These people that they have you direct your hate at, to include Papa Blump, might have a mass, an actual physical mass equal to zero. And what I am asking you to do with respect to these people and outer space and the JFK files is ask one question. How is it going to make you happier today to think about it? How is it going to increase the likelihood of your survival or the people you love? If the answer is zero, then my suggestion is ignore it. If one day they give us the truth, hallelujah, right? But it, folks, you see a giant monster named Papa Blump. I see smoke. You see a savior with orange skin. You see the Mega Man, he'll never give in, but I see a giant fucking column of smoke. We're not the same. You can focus on this Papa Blump guy all you want to. It's not going to increase the odds of your survival at all. The voting didn't. It didn't matter. I hate to break it to you. Lucy is always going to move the football. Always. And unlike every election since 1992, where it was first Rush Limbaugh and others, oh, this next election, they're going to steal it. This next election, they're going to steal it. Through Rush Limbaugh and, you know, God, what's that other guy? Wayne. Anyways, there have been multiple incarnations of these people who come along. The Rush Limbaughs, the Alex Joneses. they come along and they tell you a story and they tell you that this year the election is not going to happen. And for the first time, I feel like the idea of an election coming up after this last one, it just feels absurd. It doesn't really add up. Trump does not seem like a thing that lasts. Like the smoke, the wind can quickly blow it away. But it's really hard, folks. It's really hard for me to get excited about places I can't go. It's really hard for me to get excited about kicking the football. Because I understand Lucy. I understand the bullshit. I know that Mars, in a functional sense, is as real as, you know, a dragon. Or Alderaan in the Star Wars movie. It's about that real. It could be real, maybe, but I don't have a rocket ship to get there. It's the frontier for very special people. And even amongst them, it's still fewer than 700 unique people who've been to space since 1961. But that's no big deal, Dan. Listen then, let's just agree, as frontiers go, space sucks. Anyways, this next topic has to do with the DEI portal they set up. There's a link in the notes. You can go there and you can report on a public school doing DEI wokeism. I gotta tell you, in the couple years I have been exposed to stuff I can barely talk about for reasons of privacy, I've not seen much of the bullshit people are scared of. I've seen the cultural stuff, but guess what? Trump isn't helping with that. I mean, Trump might be replacing one type of depravity with another kind of depravity. And so in a sense, like in, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, he's got a little bag of sand and he wants to get the golden idol, so he's going to swap the sand for the idol. And, you know, he's going to fuck it up too, and the giant ball comes rolling down. They're simply taking one kind of sin, which is a sin, and replacing it with another kind of sin. So you can go to the portal and you can report your public schools for their wokeism and their DEI. Hell, if you live in the Port Angeles area and you think you know who I am, you can report me. I mean it. That's where I'm at in the game. I am so convinced that this is smoke, that what we're seeing are Quaker guns. And I've been convinced of that for 5 years. That you can report me, you can send an email to Papa Blump Clump, you can tell him I think he's a giant orange piece of shit turd, I don't give a fuck. The fun thing about the cage is that even the, I should say the fun thing, one of the fringe benefits of the cage, one of the fringe benefits, is that no amount of my bullshit within a certain range of actions is going to result in anything. That's the only benefit. I'm screaming in the dark. Anyways, if you want to check out that link, it's up to you, Papa Blum Clump and Clamula and Digititus and Little Orphan Annie. All the fuckers you want to believe in, all of them can go to hell. Lucy can go to hell. Police release footage of deadly shooting of January 6th protester. God, this PSYOP never dies. I told people, I'm on the record telling people, don't go there. I said it's a Fed operation. I said if you're going to Washington, D.C., go to the Eccles building. Or go further afield and go to NSA, go to CIA outside of D.C. And maybe, I don't know, asshole, go to at least the fucking Pentagon. Pentagon and the Eccles building. What the fuck are you doing at the House of Representatives? I told people not to go. The cartoon soldiers on Twitter pump people up. And I know people I've met who kept doing that stupid shit the last 5 years. They operated on behalf of the PSYOP. I told that to their fucking faces. One magical guy, I gotta tell you, you look into his history and it's a lot like the Dragon or Epstein or Mars. It could be there, but it just doesn't seem real. If you want to get stuck on the January 6, 2021 COVID Putin drag queen story time Alabama ATF Antifa, if you want to do a sideways sally in your own collective funky unconscious and give yourself some sort of schizomania, that's up to you, buddy. I don't care, but you got to give up on some of these psyops, and this is one of them. This is a lot, you know, this is kind of like the Gulf of Tonkin. There are people today who still believe the government story of the Gulf of Tonkin. But still, you don't have to. You can give up on it. It's not relevant to your life at this point. We are way beyond that bullshit. Way beyond it, folks. And so, YouTube has me permabanned. And I've tested that in multiple ways, and I'm tired of getting emails. What do you mean, Dan? Yeah, whatever, fuck you. And you all know what happened to me in 2021 with GoDaddy. Or maybe you don't. That they ripped off my blogs and my domain names and my prepaid fees for another year. They ripped off intellectual property they stole. And I tried to find a lawyer who would give a fuck about freedom of speech, and I couldn't find shit. Yeah. Like the journalists, the lawyers can go fuck themselves at this point. But they're there to... No, they're not. Rumble, where I've been posting for more than a year, has started behaving in ways that's similar to the way YouTube started behaving right before they started banning me, or temporarily banning me, flagging me before the permaban. So there's a chance, and I told you this before, if you listened to me back in May of 2023, you remember how I said there's a good chance YouTube's about to cancel me, and maybe forever? And I was canceled by June, right? If you know, you know. And I'm not a super genius. I'm simply sensitive to the pattern of the fuckery. And so, yeah, it looks like Rumble's about ready to, you know, send me down to Davy Jones' locker. Which is absurd, because I have 77 followers. As every scammer who leaves a message for me telling me they can boost my SEO, I have 77 followers on Rumble. I had roughly 65 on YouTube the last time they banned me. I had roughly 200 on SoundCloud, where I topped out in the first 2 months and never went above that number, except on rare occasions when I talked to special people. That was always interesting. But never above 500. Never above 500 on any platform. The only time I ever got above that number is because in 2014. No, I think it was 2013. 2013 on a lark. I decided to boost my @PowerManium Twitter account and pay some dude money to boost it. I did that. I can't believe I did it. I feel kind of stupid. But yeah, I paid a dude to boost my Twitter. And within a few days, it was like, oh, you're up to 5,000 now. But they weren't real, though. That's not real. And I know that people still do that. And I don't really care. It's kind of a waste of money. You end up basically connecting to the same number of real people, but you're mind-fucking yourself. It's really dumb. Also, this doesn't matter. If Rumble ends up canceling me at some point, it's not relevant to the food, water, shelter. It's not relevant to your survival. It's just not relevant at all. So, yeah. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You complain about the porn bots. I tell them about my AIDS. We're not the same. You complain about the scammers. You complain about that PayPal email. The one where they said a Bitcoin transaction. I talked to them about my AIDS. Or my penis surgery. Or this weird growth. Or I start talking about boogers and how I put boogers into my curry, if you know, you know. You complain about the porn bots. I tell them about my AIDS. And my crabs, and my gonorrhea. And how sometimes, because I go to space, and it's microgravity, my crabs, and my gonorrhea, and my AIDS gets into the stew, the special space goo we make for me and you, and we have that space AIDS stew with the gonorrhea stew. You complain about porn bots, and this is the conversation I enjoy having with them. And I flick them away like fleas. Dan, I can't believe you. Listen, you have to take what you think is your enemy's strength and use it against them. It might be the only choice you have at this point. You're probably not going to take over the planet. You're probably not going to create some libertarian republic in the United States. You have a chance to survive. It's not the end of the world, but you got to focus on that. How are you going to survive? Because the time is nigh when a lot of the tools you take for granted and a lot of the tech and the economics you take for granted is going to just grind to a halt. And there's even a good chance that you will be living without the internet for months or years on end. And if you're lucky enough to have electricity, well, that's great. That means you'll have refrigeration, maybe. But for a lot of places, there won't be refrigeration, which means all that food you think is there, it's like the smoke too, brothers and sisters. A little bit of wind blows it away. You complain about the porn bots. I tell them about my AIDS. You complain about the scammers. I talk about my gonorrhea. You complain about the PayPal email. You give him a call. I do. I say, Mr. PayPal, you want to talk about my crabs? You want to talk about my woman and how she's cheating on me with Slim? And I'll get really grim. And I'll keep you from talking to other people. You know what's really fun is when you force them to block you, and in some cases, they'll block an area code. Yeah. I enjoy doing it. I do. If I'm doing it, it means these jackasses aren't doing it to anybody else. They are my food. They are the enjoyment, the candy. They think they want to take advantage of me. I figured out that what I've been wanting to do for decades, and this goes, this isn't just the Jerky Boys thing. The Jerky Boys, that was the peak. But for decades, I wanted to get back to the world where we could prank phone call again, where pranking was a feasible thing and nobody got all uptight about it. Well, guess what? You know, maybe you try to call the Queen or Putin, but these people are fair game because they're trying to take advantage. They're trying to take advantage of old people. They're trying to take advantage of young people. Let's just cut to the chase. They're trying to take advantage of desperate people. Desperate people that don't have any money. So they see an email about $500 and that is the end of the world for them. So no, I don't complain about the porn bots. I created a couple burner accounts, sock puppets, not blue check because I ain't going to pay, not verified, I ain't going to pay or give them any more info. But I created a couple sock puppet accounts again on Twitter. I know. Dan, you know, Rick and Morty's right. You can't quit Twitter. Anyways, or nobody quits Twitter. Yeah. I needed to see what kind of bullshit was there. And it's related to some of this, too. You know, it's kind of fun having these conversations with the porn bots. I think it's going to be a new feature of my podcast until Grinkin time. And between you and I don't think Grinkin time is that far away. It's like the t-shirt thing. So here's some news on the t-shirts. I put in my first order for 4 t-shirts. I will be getting them in about a week and a half. If they turn out to not be total crap, I will let you guys know. And then if you're interested in a design, I'll try to make sure we proof it out first because I won't have that many customers at first, so I want to make sure it's right. And then, you know, if you're okay with what you see, we send the order and we see what happens. Sizes vary based upon the color of the shirt that I've chosen and the manufacturer. So it's not the most expensive t-shirt. But, you know, when I ended up paying for it yesterday, the price was about $16 a t-shirt with all the taxes and fees. Or actually, technically $20. So let's say $20. Roughly $20 with taxes, fees, and shipping. So, if you were going to buy a t-shirt from me, just paying the amount it would take just to, like, get you the shirt would be about $20. That's me not making any money. And I got to be honest with you, for just purely selfish reasons, I probably want to make $5 a shirt. So for right now, tentatively, I will say it's going to be about $25 to $30 a shirt. And that might be too expensive for you. I don't know. We'll see. It really depends. There are some designs. We have some options. The individual designs can be mixed and matched with different types of shirts, so you're not stuck with the particular color scheme. But I don't know what to tell you. Some of them I think are awesome. That one Drump one with the adrenochrome, I think that's awesome. But man, it's kind of like in in Die Hard 3, where you know the hero cop finds himself in the wrong part of New York City with that particularly racist thing he's wearing. There's that one shirt, right, with Trump feeding on a baby and the word adrenochrome. And I gotta say, the person that wears that in the wrong bar at some point right now is probably gonna get their asses kicked just because people are that fucking crazy. I mean, people are really, really just crazy, and it's getting worse. The fear that they are given, the fear that they hold on to, the fear that has to drive them mad, because if they don't let it drive them mad, then they have to ask the question, what the fuck else is going on? So they have to take the lesser catastrophe, you know, drink some coffee, And what's a lesser catastrophe, Dan? Well, lesser catastrophe is like the COVID. Like, imagine you, like me, like some others, in 2019 figured, it's up, it's over. Like, it's not the end of the world, but normal is over. And I was one of those people that raised the alarm. Others did too. Normal was over. It is over. What I didn't realize is the effort they would put into covering up what's actually going on. I mean, I kind of thought that they would cover up certain kinds of events, but I didn't really see it for what it was. I thought at first in February 2019, what was coming is something I called the Scroobilee, which is basically what we went through in 2008, just way worse, which is to say that the rich and the powerful will be made whole and the poor will be blamed and we're the ones who get stuck with the bill. And on one level, that's what's happening. I mean, you don't know it yet because they're able to place the blame on the evil government workers, but that's a lot of smoke too. I thought it was just the Scroobilee. And then I redefined it as the bank holiday because of the COVID nonsense. In March of 2020, I realized the COVID was bullshit because I lived near to a few hospitals with emergency rooms. And it was empirically obvious based upon the fact that I lived in, you know, group housing, shared kitchens, Chinatown. I can keep going. I lived just a few blocks from the Level 1 Trauma Center, Harborview. And I can tell you there was never evidence at any point in time that any kind of fucking pandemic was happening. Now, in 2018, when you could barely breathe in Seattle, yeah, you'd see a lot of people, especially homeless people, sitting by the side of the street, and it looks like they're near dead. But nobody talks about that, because that was actually happening. Because the sky was orange and black for like 2 months. And No, Virginia, having had a father who was a logger and having worked up in the woods myself in Washington State, it wasn't fire season. But yet, yeah, nobody has any sort of obsessions over that. No, they obsess over make-believe fucking bullshit. So yeah, I thought it was the bank holiday. And they were going to take advantage of several months of bullshit in order to, you know, essentially keep the system working. By the time we got to January 6th of 2021, I was certain it was way worse. And that what we were dealing with was them covering up some type of fuzzy event. And a fuzzy event, once again, is an event that has a probability window. It's not like an asteroid. An asteroid, we may not see it coming, but if we do see it coming, it's discreetly predictable, given what we understand about the universe. Again, it's like outer space, it's like dragons, you have to kind of take it seriously. A fuzzy event's like an earthquake, or a caldera volcano going off, or frankly, worldwide total economic collapse is also a kind of fuzzy event. Another kind of fuzzy event is the collapse of the Arctic permafrost, and frankly, the failure of what you could call the Earth's air conditioning system, which is a combo plate between the Arctic and the Antarctic. It does a lot. It does lots of things, but primarily heat exchange. And it's the Earth's oceans that do most of the work with the heat exchange. If all of that starts failing, it's fuzzy, it's chaotic, it's discontinuous, and brutal, and not linear. That would be a fuzzy event too. And one outcome of that fuzzy event is hothouse Earth, which is survivable. And another outcome of that event is Venus syndrome. And that's about as survivable as it sounds. Maybe, in a worst case scenario like Venus syndrome, a portion of people could live in Antarctica. And I'm sorry, folks, but I'm stuck there. I really do believe there is a survival complex down there. It explains a lot of the mystery and bullshit, explains everything. So maybe Antarctica, because maybe we don't reach the melting lead temperatures. Maybe we only reach the, you know, we're cooking pizza temperatures. Or maybe not even that. Maybe we just reach the temperatures of, hey, it's 150 degrees, you know, or 120 degrees or something everywhere all the time, or 200 degrees everywhere all the time. Maybe. And in that world, maybe it's not as hot in Antarctica all the time, and maybe you can live underground there. Theoretically, maybe. We can all play pretend. But the fact is, Venus syndrome is going to be awful as fuck if that's where we're headed. And that would also mean there's no God. Like, if we ended up in Venus syndrome, there's parts of the Bible where you could say to yourself, could we head towards hothouse Earth? And the answer is yes. But Venus syndrome is worse than that. It's the end of everything. And it's possible that there's some interpretation of prophecy that leads to that outcome, but I don't see it. I don't see it. There are many things that could be fuzzy events. I frankly still think it's an even deal, and this might be wishful thinking, between economic collapse and some type of natural event. It could be. It could be. But again, the geoengineering is the wild card. It looks like that's what they're doing. It looks like they did some really nasty stuff this winter. And I don't think that's going to have good health consequences. You know, I noticed the cough, that weird cough that coincided with the weird fog, the weird snow smogs, the snog. The smog that comes off the snow is called snog. And so the snog rolls down off the Olympics and the kids start coughing, but it's more like chemical warfare. Okay, here's the thing, folks. Even with Ebola, it takes a little while to get sick. With chemical warfare, you can just drop dead. Okay, it's immediate. It's instantaneous. You have to know the difference. People have this vision that viruses can instantly kill you. They can't. Not even Ebola, not even Marburg. It takes a little time for them to kill you. Now, sometimes it can happen in hours, yeah. In hours, you could be dead. Perhaps a day or two. Probably hours would be the fastest. Probably not minutes. Okay, minutes, that's chemical warfare. And so, again, this goes back to 2020 also. When I saw all those stupid-ass Wuhan videos, I didn't think virus. I thought chemical warfare. That looks like what a chemical weapon would do. At a certain level of concentration, these materials they are using to engineer the weather become a chemical weapon. Because, frankly speaking, your body doesn't know what to do with them. These nanoscale mixtures of barium and, frankly, some type of cat piss, urea, and all types of other materials at those scales, yeah, you can have toxic shock. Your immune system can instantly nuke your body and you can drop dead. And you can definitely develop symptoms over time that would look like the flu or the cold. And add in some type of vaccine detector that the creator of it basically said would give you false results if you were using it diagnostically, and blammo glammo, throw away the flu, throw away hospital-acquired infection, add in impacts from bad gumbus mixture, and you have the COVID. So I don't know what's coming, brothers and sisters. I'm fairly certain, based on my faith, it's a branch choice. We're either heading towards some type of horrific human, natural, or both-style disaster, and yes, famine will simply be baked into that cake. Or we're on the verge of the end times, and famine will be baked into that cake. But I'm getting way too gloomy-doomy. Like I said, I'm going to talk to the porn bots about how I have AIDS. How I'm taking a new kind of drug for AIDS that produces a bile mixture out of my grumpto hole. I'll talk to them about how I have to drain my testicles and pour the fluid into a glass at night. I'll send them a sample. I have an IP sniffer. I already figured out your address. I'll be visiting you today. I know you don't live in New York City. You don't live in Singapore. You don't live in London. You live in South Korea. I'm visiting you today. Or maybe Pakistan. Or maybe Malaysia. Or maybe India. I'm coming to Bombay. Because I'm a motherfucker. And it is Saturday, so let's not get too stressed out about shit we can't control. But that also implies you don't have to be suckered by the never-ending lies, okay? In the 1840s, some dude predicted the end of the world. And I think he predicted it to end in like 1848 or 45. It doesn't really matter for purposes of the story. In the 1840s, there was a dude who predicted the end of the world. And that's how we ended up with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So if Bo Blimp Doc becomes Ho Blimp Doc, and Pop Blump turns out to be the great orange hero, not a zero, then I will simply pivot into making t-shirts and finishing Bigfoot War One, the first book, and then maybe I'll get a Netflix deal and I'll have a hot girlfriend. I'll go on the new types of chemicals. I'll lose weight. My penis will get stronger and I'll be able to have sex and make little Blumbo babies with Papa Blump and Eglon and all the Scrumbo freaks in Washington, D.C. who are thinking about having sex in space because you can't cry in space. You can't cry in space. Astronauts cannot cry in space.